Well, I know several bird watchers, and if you're a bird watcher, you want to keep a couple things handy. You keep your field guide, Peterson's Field Guides, Western Birds, and you want to keep your binoculars. And a field guide is really a book that describes where certain creatures live. It has lots of pictures. It tells their habitat. It will give it'll give characteristics. Sometimes even give us, if you see the bird coming at you this way or from the top, and it tells you their coloration, their voice, what they like to sing. And with a field guide, really good birders can identify hundreds, literally, different kinds of birds. We're back in 1 John 4, and today it's really kind of a field guide to determine what is true and false. What is a spirit from God? What is a spirit not from God? You know, at first glance, it seems pretty straightforward. You investigate the teaching against the field guide of God's Word, and then you determine what's true and false. You welcome the true teacher. You say, get out of here, false teacher. But you know what? It's not always that easy, and a whole lot of people get caught up in what is not true. Now, a lot of these folks, it's because they're not in fellowship with other believers. They're doing the Lone Ranger Christian thing, which doesn't really exist in the scripture. But it can get confusing, because I know when people say, I love Jesus, and they want to talk about God, well, I want to go, hey, that sounds like a good topic to go there for me. But those who are saying that aren't always from God. This passage is going to seem really familiar to 1 John chapter 2. And there he was saying, listen, you can know people are from God if they confess the Son. Well, here they're going to confess the Son, but they're going to say something that's not true. They're going to say he isn't fully human. And that is something we're going to find. They're going to say Jesus didn't come in the flesh. Well, we want to be like Bereans all the time, and I hope you'll be like they were in Acts 17, who Paul said when they received the message with eagerness and they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true or not. I hope that you're examining the scriptures, because sometimes things come out of my mouth that are wacky, and so let me know, because I don't want to get off track. But it's one thing to make a mistake and get your words twisted. It's another thing to come with a whole other agenda. And these are the folks we're going to want to talk about today. So in 1 John 4, we read, Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit who does not acknowledge this is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming and even now is in the world. You, dear children, are from the world and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. Good news. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Well, remember, many of the folks in John's day were struggling with what was true and what was not. There were some fake, false Christians who were showing up with messages that didn't square with what the apostles had taught. They'd said, we know the real deal. And remember that back then they didn't have the New Testament. And the Lord was still communicating with people through his special prophets and apostles, giving them the message of God. And so they had to know what is true, what is not. Who is this guy who comes with this message? Even if they seem super spiritual, even if they said, I've had this incredible spiritual experience, the people needed to have some tests to determine whether or not who this person was true, and whether or not they were from God. It's important today. Sometimes we who do know God, sometimes we feel far from him, and sometimes we struggle. We have our doubts and disappointments in different areas. You know, you may not always feel super confident in your faith. And sometimes it may seem like those who have another message, like, wow, they feel confident. They look successful. Their church is growing. You know, they seem more put together. But remember, the Pharisees were like that too. They looked good on the outside, but there weren't things right on the inside. But remember, even if you're not feeling great, it's not about your feelings. Because remember, it's not about what you do that makes you right with God. It's the fact that you are right with God because of his grace and his goodness. So we want to keep that in mind. Because when people come with a message from God, they are making an ultimate truth claim about who God is and who Jesus is. And we as God's people need to test the truthfulness of the teaching we hear. Let's jump in. Dear friends, don't believe every spirit. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. Jesus told us in Matthew 24, false Christs, false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. He says, see, I've told you ahead of time. Peter talked about false teachers. Paul talked about him. And that's what John has been hammering home in 1 John. And if you read 2 and 3 John, he's going to say, watch out. That's why Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5, test everything, hold on to the good. And so we want to know when someone's got a message, where's it coming from? Well, why are we to test the spirits? Because not everything people claim is true. You know that, I know that. But we need to hear that again. You know, and there's a couple meanings for spirits in this passage. It could be a being who inspires the person, or it could be the person who's inspired by the spirit. Because really, keep in mind, there's two spirits in this world today. There's God's spirit of truth, and he speaks the word, and what is communicated aligns with the word. And then there's Satan, and he does not speak the truth. Oh, he puts a sugar coating on it. It looks good, but there's really peanuts in there that's going to kill you if you're allergic to him. You got to be careful. 1 Timothy 4 says, the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Whoa. Knock, knock. I have a message from the devil for you. No, that's not what they say at all. No way. Because you want to be careful what people are saying. You want to say, is this the spirit of God or is this the spirit of the other one I don't want anything to do with? Because back in the Old Testament, the prophet or the teacher was so aligned with the message and where it came from, that's why John is basically calling him a spirit. You can think teacher or prophet. The key is not everyone who claims to speak for God is doing that. And so there's a couple tests we're going to say. What are they teaching and who is listening to them? That is really important. What are they teaching? Who is listening to them? Remember Satan, he knows scripture real well. He quoted it to Jesus. Of course, Jesus knows it better. He wrote it. That helped. But people can have all kinds of crazy experiences. Oh my goodness, I prayed that this was true and I felt this thing and now I know and I want you to know. Why don't you pray? And because I'm not going to pray about something I know is patently false. Oh, well, you're bad. You didn't do it like I did. And there's all kinds of people that say all kinds of things. But remember, Satan's alive and well on planet Earth. He hates God. He hates God's word. He's your enemy. He hates God's people. He hates God's truth. He's the father of lies. He's tricky. He's sneaky. He wants to get you. And he is inspiring people to say all kinds of crazy things. Because if he can twist one person, he can use that person to get a whole bunch of others. And remember, though, our struggle's not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world. But, of course, don't be too discouraged, because remember the verse is going to say, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. But we've got to be careful. And how can we be careful? We go to the Word. We also have the Spirit of God, and we can look and see, Jesus, is what I'm hearing squaring with this? And that makes a difference. But we're going to see that we have a sneaky enemy. He roars, he zips around like a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour. He's devouring a lot of people. And it's really sad. Sometimes it seems like not many people are interested in spiritual things. And the few that do are off on a wild tangent. They're trying to get you to take a free magazine out by Shady Cove Market. They are out there every day. And it's like, it's rough. But we want to test the truthfulness of teaching. And to test is to really test for genuineness. Is this the real thing? You see the old Western movies and the toothless prospector with the long beard and the funny hat comes walking bow-legged out of his mine, and someone says, I found a gold nugget. And they go, oh, really? And so they grab it and they go, and they're looking like, oh, it's real, you know, because they dented it with their few remaining teeth. But if the prospector, you know, bites into it and they break all their teeth and goes, oh, that's pyrite, you know, good, lousy, whatever, get out of here, you know. They're testing, is this the real thing or not? And what test are we to give the spirits? Well, it tells us in verse 2. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Here's the acid test. What do they say about Jesus Christ? People talk about God left and right, but what are they saying about Jesus Christ? In John's day, they were calling the humanity of Jesus into question. Now it's they attack his deity. Every cult is twisting who Jesus is, up one side and down the other. They're making him out to be a mere man or inspired teacher or someone that Christ came upon, or some would even say he doesn't exist. And so when you come across someone, you don't want to say, are you from God? Because what are they going to say? Yes. That's not the right answer. That's not the right question. And this is for you. I got a letter this week in the mail, and you may get one too. Tiny print, handwritten, amazing. It just said to our P.O. box, which was kind of interesting. But anyway, I opened it up and really tiny, nice writing. It says, Folks in Trail, we are pleased to present to you here with a copy of what is likely the most published and read magazine on earth. 83,449,000 copies in 353 languages. Wow, widely published. 83 million people can't be wrong, can they? The older we get, the more we may wonder, is this really all the life there is? With this in mind, please enjoy this valuable, trustworthy and heartwarming message as it answers with clarity many of the important questions we might have in our lifetime, and these directly from the Bible. Thank you very sincerely, Fred and Donna, so-and-so, and it mentions their email address. Wow, when's the last time you got a handwritten letter in the mail? Well, I opened it up, and oh, full color, it's really nice, and you know, and I read it, and you know, by and large, it's quote scripture left and right. And I really didn't see any major theological problems with it. I mean, they kept talking about Jehovah, but guess what? I know who publishes the Watchtower. That's the publishing arm of the Jehovah Witnesses. It looks good. Everything, I mean, how can Fred and Don, oh, sorry, you know, be wrong? Well, they can be sincerely wrong. And here they are sending me a nice thing, and yet it's masquerading as truth. Falsehood in a nice package, in a friendly package. Don't you want to read something directly from the Bible? Well, yes, but dig a little deeper and it's not. Every Christian heresy can be traced to a faulty view of Christ's person and his work, what Jesus does, and more importantly, who he is. And so you want to be asking these questions, and they're in your handout. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah and therefore the only Redeemer? You want to ask, do you believe Jesus Christ is God? As much God as God the Father, the one who created the world, the one who says he's coming back again. Do you believe that he's eternal? Or are you saying he's the firstborn created one of the Father? Has Jesus always existed? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh? You know, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Oh, it doesn't say, and he made himself. That's not what it says. He was already in existence. You want to ask these questions. When people come and they're talking to you, what are they saying about Jesus? Is he God? That is critical. Yeah, because if it's a message from God, it's true. If it's not from God, it's baloney. Well, when he says every spirit that acknowledges, what's that mean? It means it's not just intellectual facts. Acknowledge here is really making a public allegiance, public confession. It's saying, I acknowledge Jesus, you are Lord, and I will stand upon that. George Whitefield was a British evangelist a few hundred years ago, and he was speaking to a man about his soul, and he said, sir, what do you believe? He goes, I believe what my church believes, the man said respectfully. And what does your church believe? The same thing I believe. And he goes, then what do you both believe? We both believe the same thing. That's the only reply he could get. But guess what? You're not saved by just, oh, yeah, I agree, I agree, I agree. I hear people a lot of times say, oh, yeah, I believe. What do you believe? You are saved by trusting and confessing that Jesus is Lord and then living for him. Guess what? Satan and the demons believe. You know, James says, you believe in one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Satan believes in Jesus, and that's not doing him any good. False teachers are going to say, we worship the Father, we believe in God the Father. Even though we disagree a little bit on Jesus, we can still be. But guess what? You deny the Son, you deny the Father. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. In John 5:23, he says, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Over and over and over. You mess with the Son, you face the Father. He gets really ticked. If you're messing with Jesus, you've messed with the Father. If you say you worship the one God but leave Jesus out of your worship, you're not a true Christian. And those that deny in John's day that Jesus came in the flesh were denying Jesus. Those who today deny that Jesus is God, the one and only God, the eternal God, the creator God, one with God, they are messed up too. So often people will come and it's like, I've got another testament for you, or I've got some other authoritative teaching, or you can't quite interpret this, so I'm going to help you out. And that way you'll know and have better understanding. And you just kind of go, time out, I got the real deal here. And you got the Holy Spirit to help you as well. And verse 3 says, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming and even now is in the world. Wow. Those who do not acknowledge Jesus are not from God. And that's the spirit of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is against Christ. Yes, there will be the Antichrist who becomes the one world ruler, bad guy, don't mess with him. But there are also those who come with false teaching and they are against Christ. And beware. This next section is interesting because you're going to find the phrase from God like six different times. We are from God. The truth is from God. We are from God. You are from God. As opposed to not from God, apart from God, having nothing to do with God. In verse 4, he says, you dear children are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. Aren't you glad? In amidst all this crazy, corrupt, bad teaching, he's overcome the world. Satan is a roaring lion, but guess what? He's been defanged. Yeah, he's like a couple dogs of people in this congregation that try to rip your ankles out every time I go to visit you. I keep hearing they only have two teeth. Yeah, but they're like this long. But in Satan's case, he's been defanged, but he still growls. But greater is the one in us than he's in the world, and he can give us understanding. He can give us the truth. To overcome. Lord, we don't have to get suckered into this malarkey. That's good news. And then he contrasts, he says, they are from the world and speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. There are false teachers out there, and the world is that which is opposed to God. Timothy says, the times will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to teach what their itching ears want to hear. There's a group out there, you can be God. Wow, that sounds good. Power, all these kind of things. Well, that may sound wonderful and great and be all wise, but guess what? It ain't true. Because only he is God, not me, and I never will be. And he didn't just become God, he always was God. So even if the message sounds good, if it doesn't square with Scripture, it ain't right. Because when it comes to the truth, the world is going to say, no, 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 I can't hear you. I don't want to hear that. Oh, Jesus is the only way to God? I don't like that message. But we go with what God's word says. We're told in John, he who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you don't hear is you don't belong to God. He goes, this is what Jesus communicated to me, and this is what I'm communicating to you. This is a special time in history before the New Testament was written down. Now we've got the whole message, and we can cling to it. Those who know God love his word, know his word. Those who don't know God ignore his word. He says in verse 6, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. We versus they. It was interesting as I was looking for an object lesson for the kids today. I came across four websites from a local cult that has their presence known in Eagle Point. And all these sites were saying, beware of those who just take the one message and try to fool you. You know, it's like, watch out for those Bible-only believers who are trying to mess with the burning in your bosom. You know, stay away from them. I thought, this is so interesting. Here we got false teachers having all these object lessons on how to stay away from our deception.
I thought, wow, this is amazing.
But you know, we at Trail Creek, we need to guard the truth. We need to evaluate what we're teaching. Check out our Sunday school material, our Bible study curriculum. We don't want to be paranoid, but we need to investigate. We want to test the truthfulness of teaching. Here at Trail Creek, we hold Jesus central. He's 100% God, 100% man. We want to teach on Jesus. We want to communicate doctrine. If you are interested in contenders, you can still come on Wednesday. Not this Wednesday, because it's canceled, because we want you to come help on Thursday. But at following Wednesday, come to the contenders class. Learn more of our truth. So when somebody comes spouting something that sounds a little off, you can go, doesn't match up. We must spend time in the Word. We talk about Jesus. We must test the truthfulness of teaching. We want to guard against false teachers. We're careful who we let to come speak here. We want to make sure everything going on in every department is squaring with God's Word. Now, we're not going to start, join our new Heresy Hunter ministry, where we investigate the first grade Sunday school class. You know, that's not what we're going to do. But we do want to be careful and check things out. A lot of how we do that is together. That's why we're the body of the Christ. We have different gifts, different abilities. Some of you who have walked with Jesus for decades. Some of you are new believers. Some of you may not know as much, but others have had long experience with God. And so you can check things out. So when someone comes up to you and says, hey, I got this great thing I want to teach you about, you're not taken in by a false prophet in a wolf in sheep's clothing. Because false teachers won't come and say, hey, this is the wrong thing to believe. You might want to check it out. They'll say, we love Jesus too, and they'll disguise it. False teachers prey, especially on weak Christians who are off to the side, doing their own thing, not involved with church. You're not going to fall for it because you're connected, because you have a relationship, because you come and love God's word and his teaching. And so if you got a question, you'll go, hey, Kenny, I was wondering about this. And Kenny will go, that doesn't square. Or Ed will go, yeah, that's good. But those who separate themselves, aren't connected with the body, aren't following God, and by being together in church, are vulnerable. And that's where the cults grow. God's word and his spirit and God's people can help you stay in the right place. There was a guy named Mickey Moore, and he related this story. He said, one night we were packing up after a concert. We sent a young woman to pick up our son from our children from the home they were staying at. And since the children didn't know her, I told her to give our son Trevor our secret family code word so he would know that this lady was authorized to pick him up. A little while later, I got a phone call. Trevor refused to leave because I hadn't given the right word. The mix-up was on my part. He'd said, I'd told her the code word was dinosaur monster. My son informed me that was incorrect. It's dinosaur. Are you sure? Mickey said, I thought it was dinosaur monster. I'm sure. Well, okay, you're probably right. You can go with this lady since she told you dinosaur monster. It's all right. And then suddenly there was silence on the line, and he said, Trevor? And then Trevor said, who is this? He said, it's your father. Go with that lady. It's okay. And he said, it felt really strange to be interrogated by his six-year-old son, but he knew the word, and even though he was given a word that was close to the real word, it wasn't the exact right word, and he knew the difference. As mature believers, if we know the word of God, the infallible, the inerrant, the truthful field guide to what's right and wrong, if we know it, then we will not be tossed around easily with every wind of doctrine. We're to test the spirits to see if they're true. Test the truthfulness of teaching. And God's Spirit will guide us as we look into his word. Thank you, Lord God, that you have provided your word, you've provided your spirit, you've provided your body so that we can know what is true and false. We pray, O Lord, that those who do not know your word, who are spreading falsehood, that you would open their eyes to the truth, that they would come to know you and recognize falsehood and error as well. And Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for all you've done. In your name I pray, amen.